This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. Today is Friday, which means it's an all-request episode. A lot of stuff to get to, a lot of great questions. Thank you very much for contributing them. First, want to remind you that we are sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day. The North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for Steak on a Stone. So once again, really awesome job on Twitter. I usually send this out on Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, not knowing what I'm going to get, but some excellent ones. So we will get into that. First question comes from a friend of mine, Colin Dunlap, who asks a very good one, something I've been thinking about for a lot of this morning. What is the hottest sporting event you've ever been to / covered and coldest? So the hottest one I've ever been to or covered would be St. Louis. I believe it was last year. If you've ever been to St. Louis, the heat is oppressive. I love it, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bagging on St. Louis. But it was well over 100. The humidity, I've never been this hot in my life. And it's a time to share a little nugget that I was giving Noah Hyles grief about the other day. Baseball writers do not wear, this is going to sound funny, they do not wear shorts often. It's a point of debate. Do you wear shorts? Do you wear pants? A lot of them are very strictly, you don't wear shorts, you have to wear pants. My rule is 90 degrees. If it's 90 or above, you can wear shorts. Noah came in with shorts when it was below 90, and I was giving him crap for it. Ultimately, it's not my job to tell somebody how to dress. But anyway, it's just kind of a baseball writer quirk. The coldest, I keep coming back to when I started on the Penguins in 2014, 2015, my first trip to Western Canada was so cold. It was, I forget what the Celsius temperature is. Obviously, that's what you're keeping track of up there. But I think it was like minus 22 Fahrenheit or something like that. I remember being around Edmonton and Calgary and just being so frigidly cold. Like you walk to your car and it's painful. So this year in Buffalo was honestly up there too. I made it up there for the snowstorm, spent a couple of days in a hotel shoveling my car out. That was quite an experience. I wouldn't say it was the coldest, but some severe weather for sure. All right. Tyler Sadlin asks, between Laine and Nekas, who's the more likely option and the better fit? I'm going with Patrick Laine. Obviously, we're switching over to Penguins here, and I appreciate the non-baseball question, two non-baseball questions. But I really like Laine for this team, and maybe I'm out there and losing my mind or something, and that's fine. But I like the buy-low option from Columbus. I know Matt Wenzel posited sending Riley Smith out. That's fine. I mean, I don't know if that gets it done. If from Columbus's perspective, if that would get the deal done, I would make that swap 100 times. Out of 100. To me, it's, you know, looking at Phil Kessel over again, and the Penguins see something where they can repurpose a player and take advantage of what he does well and ignore some of what he does poorly, give him a fresh look. And I think that there's a lot of positivity there. Both are good players. So I'm not trying to bag on anybody there. Robert Sabo asks, with the Pirates recently relying on multiple bullpen games due to an assumed lack of MLB-ready pitching, has there been any thought to a reunion with Vince Velasquez? Is he healthy after last year's injury? I thought he looked pretty good pre-injury. You're right. He looked very good. I don't know if that lines up with what Vince would want. And we're talking about, I think it was July-ish that he would be back. I think he optimistically thought like late May. But I want to say, I'm doing some mental math here, that it might've been like the end of May. The surgery was performed and then it was 14 months. I'm not sure. I think we're a little early on something like that is my first reaction to Vince Velasquez. I wouldn't hate it. But I do think the Pirates are in an interesting position. I mean, you're going to need ways. This is an under talked about storyline with the Pirates right now with Paul Skeens and Jarrett Jones and what you do with the two of them. If they keep going at this current pace, they're going to blow past their innings limits which I know people don't want to hear, but front offices do operate like this. So they're going to be looking for ways to lengthen time between starts, maybe skip a start or whatever, and you need pitching depth. But ideally, Luis Ortiz has been a bonus. You're going to keep using him, have him keep doing what he's doing. Martin Perez is going to be back before too long. That's going to help. I would say Quinn Priester is probably going to be back before too long, what they get with Mike Burrows. I don't know what the opportunity would be for Vince Velasquez. He might have somewhere else to go where he can maybe pitch more, have more of a regular role or an opportunity to do more whenever he's healthy. I just don't think we're there yet. So Dominic Bertoni asks, do you think the Pirates will ever rebrand? I think going back to the 70s uniforms and logo would be great. I don't disagree with you. I don't think they would rebrand all that far back. It wasn't too far or too long ago where they had, you know, the cursive Pittsburgh script uniforms, brought those back. I don't know if I like or hate baseball's uniform situation where they use a bunch of different ones anyway. And even if you did rebrand, there's going to be a whole bunch of other throw-ins and City Connects and military uniforms and all this stuff. Like, again, which I don't have any problem with. I like it. But like a full rebrand, I wish they would bring those out a little bit more. I feel like that would be fun. Like they've already opened that door to honor, and they do, to be fair. Like they do wear those uniforms. I don't think it would ever trigger like a full-on rebrand or something like that. All right, John Gilger, I'm sorry, John. So with Ned resigning as Jari on his way out, do you see Ben making deals for a first baseman and an outfielder before the trade deadline, guys that actually help? All right, so I want to tackle the Penguins thing first. And this is actually a column that I wrote and filed. I don't think it's online yet, but I don't understand why this necessarily means that Jari is on his way out. And honestly, that was my first reaction too. Like, oh, they re-signed Ned. That has to mean that Jari's gone. No, it doesn't. Why? Here's why I think that. This isn't an opinion on like...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Whether I want to see them trade, I'm trying to think through this logically. And if you're running the Penguins, what would you do? So try to put your Kyle Dubas hat on and think about this. This is the way I did it. And nobody died and made me the expert. But if you trade Jari now, you're trading an asset at its very lowest point, right? Like he's coming off the worst season of his career. You can probably argue that. Has not won 20 games for the first time in 5 years. Saw a bunch of different stats and goals against average, save percentage, et cetera. It was not great. And so you're going to turn things over to Ned, who's never been a full-time starter, and Joel Blomquist, who may or may not be ready. I mean, a lot of what he's done, Wilkes-Barre-Scranton is telling us that he is, but we don't know that for sure. That's a little bit much to me. Now, you can sign somebody in free agency, theoretically. Is there any guarantee that they're going to be better than what you have? Don't know. I would argue that the Penguins need to hunt for an advantage in goal, sometimes because of how they play defensively and just how their roster is constructed. So at this point, I might roll the dice that Jari bounces back. That might be their best available move. They're allocating around $8 million to goaltending, which is somewhat good. I mean, economical, efficient, however you want to put it. And honestly, it might be best just to run it back, just to take the same group and do it again. And I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. They have two guys challenging one another. And if the best case scenario is you kind of have a way to move on from one of them after next season, okay, great. Then you make the deal and you maybe recoup some value, honestly, with either one. But I hesitate to make that now because Are you making your team better? Or are you just operating under the assumption that what Tristan Jarry was this past year is what he's always going to be? And I don't think he is. And I think, you know, I go back to something Mike Sullivan said at his season-ending press conference about, we think we have a really good goaltending tandem, something to that effect. And I mean, that would be a weird thing to like just not honor that or not, you know, there's an opportunity to do that, to keep that tandem, and then they're not going to do it. So I don't know. I understand the counter argument of saying like, you know, they need to make a change. They need to free up money. They need to do things differently. They could sign one of those free agents. They could trade Jarry and you could maybe, you know, figure out $2-3 million in there somewhere. I understand that. I'm not trying to argue the other way, but I think there's also an argument for just keeping him. Ryan Chepkovich asks, who's your favorite Penguins player to interview as a reporter? If it was me, mine would be Brian Rust. Certainly up there, man. Certainly up there. I like Brian Rust a lot. I've dealt with him since he was in the AHL. Just honest, good dude, available, articulate, gives you what you need. I really like dealing with him. Thinking of the current dressing room, I mean, Rust might be up there, to be honest with you. And it's, you know, different. My time as a beat guy, pretty much all of those guys are gone, other than Letang, Gino, Sid. I mean, Sid is one of my favorite people on the planet, period. Like, he's just such a good person. You can't help but like him. So I don't know how I don't put him there. But if you're going to talk about pure, exciting stuff, you know, to fill a notebook, a good interview, that sort of thing, like, I'd probably take a motivated Chris Letang, which means like slightly agitated. Letang is the type that he can get kind of mad about something or take issue with a question, and then he's a very articulate responder. So that's great, at least for our purposes. And he can. He's very intelligent and talks, you know, is able to fully articulate his thoughts. So it's, you know, some people will, you know, I'm one of these. Trust me, they say something and then they think of something else and then they jump. But Letang will fully flesh out what he has to say. I also love the pure emotion in what Evgeny Malkin says. Like, Gino talks so infrequently. When he's talking, when he's sitting there, like, you know, he's got something to say. There's a message there. And so I love that as well. What else we got? Let's do a couple more quickly. Why won't the Pirates give Matt Gorski an opportunity? That's a decent question. At the same time, I don't know where you'd play him right now. I guess in the outfield, but I mean, you're taking reps away from other guys. I think at some point you just need to kind of flip the switch. I also don't think it's just a magic, you know, bring up Matt Gorski and all the problems are solved too. What else do we got here? Why not try to make a move or moves to improve the Pirates lineup? Cost is not a great argument. I mean, nobody says they're not. Nobody says they're not. Like, we're sitting here on June 21st. The trade deadline is 5+ weeks away. Look around Major League Baseball. It's not like everybody else is wheeling and dealing. I do think they have interest in improving the club. I think they need to improve the club. But if you look at the standings right now, there are a lot of teams that still think they're in it. And those that aren't, and those that are clearly sellers, like the assets they have to sell, they know they can be picky. They don't have to move on an offer right now. So just because the Pirates are not doing something, it doesn't mean that they don't care, or that, you know, they're complicit, or they're not a serious team, or all of these things that I hear. And I'm not like taking their side and saying they're the greatest thing ever. I'm just saying, logically, this is not the time where you have to make a deal right now. There's going to be this happens every year. It just matters a little bit because the Pirates are actually close to something and people want to see them go for it, which again, I respect and understand, and that's great. But you sometimes have to just wait this stuff out. You have to have teams that are, you know, a little bit more clearly out of it, that are willing to sell off pieces, prices go down, that sort of thing. So, I mean, yes, we can see things that they lack, an outfield bat. Maybe another reliever would be really great. I'm not sure what their catching situation is. Maybe TBD on first base based on what Rowdy Tellez has done. But I don't think it's egregious that they have not done anything to this point. There's still plenty of time. All right, going to take 2 days off for the weekend. Hope you do as well. That does it for me today. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of this content and the rest from our Post-Gazette writers here on the North Shore Drive podcast channel. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.